If you love gadgets, tech and all that sort of stuff, this is the bit of the show for you. Our guest is Fevzi Turkalp, the Gadget Detective. You can follow him on Twitter, at Gadget Detective, and you can also subscribe to his podcast for free, gadgetdetective.com, or you can listen via Alexa, Apple Podcasts and all the other ways in which you might normally access these things. Hi, Fevzi.
Hello.
Good to have you with us as per. We start, as we usually do, with your tech story of the week. And when I saw NFT, I thought, oh, it's about the National Film Theatre. How marvellous.
Oh.
But no, this is non-fungible tokens.
Yes, or not Fevzi Turkalp.
Oh, God, I hadn't thought of that. Yes, of course.
Or no FT, no comment. How's that?
Boys on fire.
Listen.
What's so this fungicide thing anyway?
Okay, so the story is, and I'll explain in a moment what a non-fungible token is, but Jack Dorsey was the founder of Twitter, yeah. And they turned his first tweet saying, I'm going to set up a Twitter account, into what's called a non-fungible token and then sold it. So let me explain. First of all, to know what a non-fungible token is, you must know what fungible means.
Yeah.
So fungible is something that can be exchanged for something of equal value. So, for example, I can swap a £10 note for two £5 notes. Those are fungible tokens because they have that form where there are direct equivalents to it. However, if I have a painting such as the Mona Lisa, it is not fungible. I can't exchange it for something of equal value by definition. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So these are original works, and non-fungible tokens, therefore, are digital representations of unique works of art or unique items. So it can be a tweet, it can be a photograph, it can be anything that can be digitized. It could be Paul McCartney's back catalog. I'm not sure who owns that now,
Or Paul McCartney's toothbrush, because who knows how much that's worth compared to Barbara Streisand's toothbrush.
Now, the thing that's interesting about a toothbrush, because if you were to try and digitize that, could you digitize it fully? Possibly not, but you can do it. And so it's meant to be a digital representation, and then you can sell it. But it's very interesting. So this particular story is that non-fungible token of Jack Dorsey's first tweet originally sold for $2.9 million. The guy who bought it is trying to sell it now, and he's getting offers of about $6,000, which is about 0.2% of what he paid for it. And this is a case of the emperor's new clothes, in my opinion. I've been saying this for a while. I think NFTs. I mean, you know, I'm not a don't take financial advice from me. I'm a tech person.
Yeah.
But what I notice about non-fungible tokens is that it doesn't transfer the intellectual property rights of the original item to you. So, for example, you can't stop people if you buy a. So there was a video of a baby on YouTube that bit his brother's finger, and it was very famous.
I've seen that. Yeah.
But someone bought the non-fungible token of that, but you can't actually stop anyone else copying it because you don't own the intellectual property. You kind of own a certificate of the original, but it's a bit strange. It's not really, in my opinion, true ownership of a digital asset. And therefore, I think you have this problem of you pay $2.9 million for something and then get off with $6,000 for it because you don't really own it, in my opinion. This is the problem. I won't be buying any non-fungible tokens, but if I hit hard times, I will turn these shows into non-fungible tokens. I will do whatever it takes to
get what you can. Yes,
exactly. I'm not being so holier than thou that to say that I would never ever do it. If I could find someone to buy my used pair of socks, I would. But that my non-fungible tokens would probably have similar value.
So there'll be other people sitting on NFTs at the moment now, wondering whether they've also made a terrible mistake. Then,
I mean, the guy who bought the non-fungible token of Jack Dorsey's first tweet said he compared the digital asset to Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa.
Right.
I think that's not quite correct. Well, you can compare it, but not favourably.
Even if you digitalise that wouldn't work either, would it? Because you can still go and see it anytime you like in the Louvre.
Exactly.
And other people can reproduce the image. Yeah.
So if Leonardo were alive, or whoever owns, I suppose whoever owns the Mona Lisa now, could digitize it, could produce a certificate of authenticity and say, this is the original digital version of the Mona Lisa. And you can say that you own the original NFT, right? The non-fungible token for it. You don't own the painting. You can't go into the Louvre and remove it from the wall without being chased.
Yeah. And you say you also can't stop its image appearing elsewhere as well.
No, I don't believe so. I mean, I'm not a legal expert, and these are slightly murky waters legally. But, yeah, I don't think you... I'm pretty sure you don't own the intellectual property. And then what is the point?
Let's hope that Malaysian-based Sina Estavi, 40s he... is a very rich man and didn't put all his eggs in one basket, his $2.9 million, which he's now going to get about 6,000 quid back for.
Well, at least it'll be a tax write-off, won't it? But he said he may not sell it now.
I think that's fancy that.
I think that's probably correct.
Today's least surprising news, yes. Well, there we are now. We all know about... was it a fungicide again? What's it called?
Non-fungible tokens.
Non-fungible tokens.
It does sound
word.
Like one of those nonsense words like runcible spoon.
Yes. You
know from the Owl and the Pussycat?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Didn't exist. That word doesn't exist anywhere prior to its use in
Oh, didn't know that. Oh, didn't
yeah,
know
no,
that.
No, it's a made-up nonsense word.
Petula's a made-up name by Petula Clark's dad. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, there was no Petula until Petula Clark.
Well, you know, someone once told me, and I don't think it's correct, but that the name Wendy didn't exist before Peter Pan, but I don't think that's true, is it?
Yes, I've heard that story, and I don't know if that's true. I'm going to Google that now.
Because it was
song.
Meant to be kiddie talk, wasn't it? Friendly Wendy.
Yeah, I see. Yes. Well, I'm going to have a look at that now. You've set me off.
I think that's right, but...
you've set me off, Fevzi.
I've triggered you. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you have. Fevzi Turkout, the gadget detective with us at the moment. Goodness me, Fevzi, there's an awful lot online about the name Wendy. Some people still absolutely saying, yes, it is an invention for Peter Pan, based on some little boy saying, that's my Fwendy Wendy, meaning my friend. Yes. Other people saying nothing of the sort. Although what I didn't know until now is that it's apparently one thing they do agree on is that it's originally a derivative of Gwendolyn. Did you know that?
Yes.
You did know that. Oh.
Yeah. Which is why I don't believe its origin is Friendly Wendy.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
because otherwise it would be, you know, Quendy Wendy or something. But no, it doesn't make sense then, does it?
No.
But still, it's a nice... I love these apocryphal stories. I don't believe it was Peter Pan at first.
Well, it gave me something. It gave me something to do.
Prove.
Yeah,
fairly easy to prove, wasn't it?
You would have thought.
One occurrence of the name prior to Peter Pan being published.
And there's the internet raging with all these different opinions. I don't know. We should never have invented it.
We've got nothing better to worry about, isn't it? There we are.
Gadget of the week. Let's worry about that then. In fact, it is kind of attached to a worry because it's attached to the fact that we're destroying the planet slowly but surely, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So this is a brand of product called Bluetti. I'll spell this for you because I keep getting this wrong. It's B-L-U and then E-T-T-I. So it's pronounced Bluetti. And this brand is kind of interesting because they produce products, but this is about, you know, sustainability, using solar power, replacing conventional gas generators, that sort of thing. But it's a device. So think of like the little power banks that you use to sort of top up your phone when you've not got you know, access to mains power. Now think of something like that on mega steroids, right? So this thing is huge and it has a completely different use. So the size of it is about, roughly speaking, 16 inches by 15 inches by 11 inches. It weighs 23.5 kilos. This is not something that you put in your pocket. It's something that you can use to power your household devices, and pretty well all of them, and I'll explain more in a minute. If you're camping, if you're at home and you've got a power cut, you can continue to use everything, you know, your fridge, even heaters, hair dryers, all these sorts of things, right? Really high power devices. And also, you know, camper vans. It's very good for camper vans and, RVs and that sort of thing. Or if you're using any power tools away from a power socket, so I know you're chopping trees at the end of your garden or something like that.
Yeah.
It's somewhere where you can't get it. You can use it for all of those things, although, as I say, 23.5 kilos, we lift it with care. But it's quite an incredible device because it holds so much energy. First of all, it can power up to 13 devices at the same time. It's got a range of sockets on it. So you've got a cigarette lighter port, you've got two normal mains plugs, you've got four normal USBs, you've got a USB-C, you've got these 12-volt things. You've even got two wireless charging bits at the top where you can put your phone on and just charge it wirelessly. And to give you an idea of what it can do, it can run a washing machine for 3.5 hours, just off a battery, right? That's it can great. Run the coffee maker for just under 3, a fridge for 11, microwave oven for just a little under 2 hours, hairdryer for just over an hour, laptop for about 28 hours, and that would be quite a sort of meaty laptop in terms of power consumption. Yep. Even CPAP machines, I don't know if you've ever heard of a CPAP machine, but people who have sleep apnea, people who stop breathing at night sporadically, they wear these masks that blow air. I think CPAP stands for positive air pressure, isn't it? Something like that. It blows air down the person's throat to keep the airway open throughout the night.
Right.
They're horrible things, but they're lifesavers, right?
Yes.
And it will run a CPAP machine for 42 hours. So, of course, you know, the conventional use for these sorts of devices were the people who used to, you know, live off-grid or didn't have reliable power supplies. Well, first of all, our power supplies are going to become less reliable. I think that's fairly clear. But the other thing is that although you can charge this up, you know, as you wish from a wall charger, you know, the battery inside it, it'll take about 4.5 hours. You can buy solar panels for this. And if you know, these portable, they're quite large, but solar panels with a little kickstand, you don't have to permanently mount them. You can just put them in your garden or something like that. If you connect three of those, you can charge this thing up in 3 to 4 hours. So in 3 to 4 hours of sunlight, as it were. Because do you remember we talked about the solar panels the other day? You know, I told you about that little booth that you could put. We had solar panels. But the problem with that is, if you don't have something to charge in the moment with it, like your electric car's battery, you need to have a way of storing it, because otherwise all you can do is use it or lose it or possibly sell it back to the grid for a loss. But if you have a device like this and then you buy the panels, now, by the way, this is not a cheap device, but it sort of comes under the heading.
You've got to speculate to accumulate, though, haven't
you? Well, I think, you know, the way energy prices are going, you would eventually make your money back. Yeah. But it's also the certainty. I mean, if you've got, let's say you've got a loved one who's reliant upon, we talked about CPAP, but you have people who are reliant upon, you know, hospital-type beds, you know, in their own homes and so forth, all sorts of devices that, you know, electric hoist to get a patient out of the bed or hospital or anything. You can run these. I mean, it will do up to 2 kilowatts. You can run a electric oil-filled electric radiator with 2 kilowatts. I mean, you can actually do amazing things with this thing. And as I say, if you buy the panels, I haven't tried the panels, I have to be honest. I'm going to request some panels to try with this, but you can just charge it from the mains, and it does give you that sort of backup. But I just love, I mean, look, you can do induction cooking for 66 minutes. I mean, you could run.
Very impressed. No wonder it's heavy, and no wonder it's pricey. It's got to be worth it.
It's big. Now, price. List price on this is a shade under £2,000. I noticed they've got an Easter sale on. I actually didn't know this one until I checked this morning when I'd already decided to cover this. But £1,599, including VAT and delivery. So it's not cheap, but it's not. It's quite a unique device. I think of all the types of these devices I've ever seen, this is by far the most capacious and flexible because it's very much designed. So normally these sorts of devices would be charged up by generators, and you can do that. You know, this has got the input for generators, but it's also got the control circuitry to allow you to charge from solar panels, and that's really the way to go with something like this. I will be testing this in the future with solar panels, but it's just amazing because you can just, if you go camping, I mean, you know, taking slightly cheaper holidays these days, but if you go camping, we just want to keep away from other people, right, because of COVID, you're there and you can have all your creature comforts. You can literally run everything all at once, 13 totally devices at once. Yeah. So 4.5 stars, especially at that price of $1,599, I think that's pretty good. But be aware that the solar panels are extra. So with what you get for $1,599 is the device itself. And then you can also charge it from your car, by the way, which is pretty good because it means you can turn petrol into electricity as well.
My head is boggling now. Anyway, it's the Bluetti AC200P. UK version solar power station.
Yeah, and so I've only found it sold in two places. So I'll give you the clue to this. One is Bluetti, Bluetti.co.uk, and the other one is Amazon. I haven't seen it on sale anywhere else.
You didn't do the big women joke.
I know, because I thought it was just, you know, wearing a bit thin. Yeah, you know, whenever I say that, you know what I think of?
I dread to think.
Valerie Leon.
Yes, the high karate advert lady.
Yes,
for those
and she was the ultimate Amazonian, I thought.
She was.
Well, she still is. I saw an interview with her the other day. She's you know, getting on in years now, if she won't mind me saying. But she is a delightful individual.
We'll say farewell now, so you can sit and have a little think about Valerie Leon. And I'll get on with the rest of my show.
You do that. I'll be listening to you as well.
It's been a joy. Thank you, Fevzi. There he is, the gadget detective, Fevzi Turkalf. As I say, you can follow him on Twitter at gadgetdetective.com or go to his website if you want to subscribe for free to his... I said the wrong thing there, didn't I? At Gadget Detective, of course, on Twitter. Or go to his website, gadgetdetective.com, if you want to hear his podcast. Right.